The unexpected unavailability of counsel in a different case. We only have one case today, United States versus Flores. Major Kane, are you prepared to argue on behalf of appellant? And Captain Barros, are you prepared to argue on behalf of the government? Very well, please proceed.
Chief Judge Olson, members of the court, and may it please the court. I am Major Heather Kane, and along with my co-counsel, Major Matthew Blythe, we represent Senior Airman Israel Flores, the appellant in this case. Chief Judge Olson, with your permission, I would like to reserve 3 minutes in rebuttal.
Granted.
Thank you, Your Honor. Since the government conceded the granted issue that sentence appropriateness review must consider each segmented sentence, not just the total confinement, this court should remand the case because the Air Force Court did not conduct sentence appropriateness review correctly, or at a minimum, it is not clear that it did. Turning to the one page.
So in that regard, amicus also, who filed a brief in, on behalf of neither party, says that the term they use is that there is uncertainty in regard to what the CCA did here. If, for the sake of argument, hypothetically, we were to, in fact, engage in that action, what should our remand instructions to the CCA look like? Should we simply be making it clear that they need to demonstrate whether they separately considered the segmented sentence for the false official statement conviction, or are you looking for something broader?
Your Honor, exactly what you said, making it clear that they have to have conducted segmented sentence review for each of those segmented sentences, if they decide to engage in writing about it. But at a minimum, they must consider whether it's appropriate.
And that would be sufficient for the remand?
Yes, Your Honor. This court can point to the Navy Marine opinion in Alcazag, which gives a really great framework for a step-by-step process in conducting that review and being clear in the process and what they considered. However, it is not necessary for this court to specify a test or anything more than informing the CCAs you do have to conduct sentence appropriateness review for each segmented sentence of confinement or fine, as well as all of the unitary sentences as well.
Now, what about your argument in your briefs, both your initial brief and the reply brief, that, in fact, this sentence needs to be viewed in isolation? What is your position as you stand here today about whether a CCA in reviewing this type of segmented sentence can look at it in terms of the totality of the record, or whether they need to look at it in isolation?
Your Honor, evidence holistically can be applied to unitary and segmented sentences, except when it's specific to a certain charge or specification, unless there's another reason for it to be analyzed with that specification. So in this case, if the Air Force Court had decided that facts and circumstances of the 128s were aggravating factors for the false official, potentially they could consider it that way, but in their opinion, it's not clear that that's what they were doing, as opposed to just stating facts and circumstances around the 128s, as well as the false official, and then concluding generally that the sentence is appropriate. So when looking at their the one-page opinion, Your Honor, you see in the first paragraph of the analysis, the Air Force Court talks about the maximum punishment and the pleas, minimum and maximum punishments that it's allowed. Concluding, again, what the military judge sentenced the Airman Flores to completely, holistically. The second paragraph does talk about some of Airman Flores' argument about his mitigation and rehab potential, but the last sentence in that paragraph, again, combines them. While we agree there's mitigating circumstance and evidence of rehab potential, they don't agree the judge's sentence whole is inappropriate. That's important because mitigating circumstances and evidence of rehab potential can be considered for all offenses, segmented portions of the sentence, as including the unitary sentence. So again, here, they're not being clear that what they're looking at is just as it relates to the 12 months confinement for the false official statement.
Counsel, may I ask you a question about that paragraph? It sounds like they were addressing the argument that appellant made before them, and it sounded like their argument concerned only the false official statement, that it was excessive only with respect to the false official statement. Was that the only argument that was made?
Your Honor, the Airman Flores raised that the 12 months of confinement was inappropriately severe. So that is the only argument that was raised by Airman Flores. However, CCAs must consider each segmented sentence and the whole sentence under their Article 66D requirement, regardless of what issue is raised. And here, the only time they mention the false official statement's segmented sentence is at the very beginning, before the law analysis. And then when they go into the law analysis, there's no mention of Article 56 and how military judges adjudge an appropriate sentence for each segmented sentence.
Do you have any, on that specific point, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but do you have any specific argument that the other segmented sentences, the 6 months ones, were excessive?
No, Your Honor. Airman Flores did not raise that.
No, I mean currently now. I mean, if we go send it back on remand, are you going to make any argument that they were excessive?
No, Your Honor, there were 6 months for each specification, and because the military judge also adjudged that they were concurrent, Airman Flores is not proffering and will not proffer that those sentences, given the facts and circumstances and aggravation evidence for the gravamen offenses, is inappropriately severe. Specifically, his only position is that the 12 months, so twice as much for each of the gravamen offenses, is inappropriately severe. Turning back to the analysis, when you move to paragraph 3, the first sentence again groups the assaults with the false official statement together, finding that the circumstances surrounding both are aggravating, but not specifying which circumstances are aggravating for the false official versus which circumstances are aggravating for the assaults.
Well, counsel, your argument makes a lot of sense in the kind of case where, and we see this, where there's, you know, a larceny, and then during the investigation they find evidence of another crime that happened completely unrelated. 6 months later, there was an assault, right? And so they both end up on the charge sheet and they both get tried together. But here we have charges of related events, right? And so how do we distinguish between, how do we keep them, I get your argument that you want the CCAs, when they're performing their sentence, you know, their appropriate review, to keep them completely siloed. But when the events are related and the charges are related to each other, how do we instruct the CCA to keep those siloed in that circumstance like we have here?
Well, Your Honor, it doesn't necessarily have to be completely independent, but if they're going to include facts and circumstances for the underlying offense that he was also convicted and found guilty and sentenced for, in assessing whether the lie about those offenses is appropriate, they have to be clear why and in what way, and are they considering it as facts and circumstances of the lie? Are they considering it as aggravation for the lie? Here we have in paragraph 3, the next three sentences, they're describing an initial denial of striking the child and then more facts and circumstances that arguably are aggravating for the 128s, but they don't clearly specify that they think that those factors are aggravating for the lie that happened the next day to his shirt in an unplanned meeting to the shirt. The lies may be about the initial lie about striking the child, aggravating for the 128s, even though he does admit to it later. But there's no nexus described between that and how that's aggravating for the lie he makes the next day, especially given that the lie that he makes the next day doesn't thwart any medical attention and essentially has no impact on what happened the day before.
I understand the reason for your argument. I understand that perhaps your approach would be a great way for CCA to, in fact, frame their decision. But where is the statutory requirement or the precedential requirement that says that a CCA needs to explain itself to the degree that you're saying?
Well, Your Honor, statutorily, there's nothing that states what exactly they must explain, but it is clear that they can only approve a sentence, part of a sentence, or amount of a sentence that, based on their record, should be approved. And this Court has said—
The entire record.
The entire record, yes, Your Honor, but doing an analysis for each part of the sentence is also built into the assessment, because when Military Justice Act 2016 came into effect, there were now segmented sentences, and as the Alcazar Court makes clear, the CCA's job is not just to assess whether the sentences are appropriate for unitary, but each specific one. And as for case law, Your Honor, while this Buber was before the Military Justice Act 2016 came out, this court specifically sent it back for a rehearing because the CCA didn't provide illuminating examples of the aggravation evidence it considered. So there are cases where it's required and has been stated that if CCIs are going to engage in analysis in their opinion, they must be clear about what they're considering as aggravation evidence and why they believe their assessment of the sentence is appropriate or inappropriately.
Judge Johnson, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Thank you, Chief. You keep going, because I think you just answered the question I was going to ask, so keep talking.
Thank you, Your Honor. So turning back to the Alcazar case, which gives us a great framework.
Before you do that, Major Kane, let me ask you this. Now, it goes back to Judge Hardy's question. And I think in Alcazar, the Navy case,
yes, Your Honor,
the false statement there was pretty separate and apart from, wasn't that the machine gun case? And
yes,
the machine gun offense was thrown out by the CCA, and they went to reassess, and they were left with this false official statement. But that statement was totally unrelated to the other offenses, or shall we say the gravamen of the offenses that he was found guilty of, weren't they?
Not exactly, Your Honor. So they did set aside one of the specifications for the bump stock, but the other specification remained. Then there were two false official statements and enlistment paperwork. So he was sentenced for the remaining. So the court first looked at reassessing versus rehearing. They decided, we'll reassess. And they stated that because...
But putting aside the reassessment part of it, and if we were looking at, if they were looking at only the false official statement in that case, what do you think they would have done?
So I believe the false official statement that relates to the possession of the bump stock mm-hmm. was the one that was made to law enforcement when he was about to enter the gate. He initially denied having any weapons in his hand. He was in handcuffs and he was restrained because of the bolo out mm-hmm. for him. And then when he realized that they were going to search anyway, he then admitted he did have weapons in his vehicle. And I believe one of those was what one of the specifications remained for. There, the Navy Marine Court found that 12 months was appropriate given the seriousness of the underlying offense of having the bump stock, the weapons and the mm-hmm. weapon that it was for. Mm-hmm. But then they also found that the possession of the weapon was worthy of 24 months, so twice as much. That's the opposite of what we have here, because here we have the gravamen offenses at 6 months and the lie about it twice as much.
I guess what my ultimate question is, in your brief, you seem to indicate that, well, we should be looking at the false official statement offense more generically as opposed to within the context of what the lie was about. Is that fair?
No, Your Honor.
It's not fair to you for me to characterize that?
Your Honor, I think after preparation for oral argument, case law has stated that if the other facts and circumstances are being used as context, it is allowed. I mean, that's what this court stated when it in the Norse case, that because the judge considered the evidence for the appropriate purpose of putting it in this context, that he didn't abuse his discretion. So mm-hmm. if those facts and circumstances are used for context, the CCAs need to state that that's how they're using it, and then they may be able to use it, but that's making it clear. In the end, whether for here, the gravamen offense of the 128s, he got 6 months, and then twice as much for the false official. So while they may consider potentially the facts and circumstances about the lie about the 128s, the CCA's job is still to only approve a fair and just punishment for every accused. So if they are believing 12 months, so twice as much, is appropriate, they need to articulate how and why and what they're considering. So it's not that they can't at all, but if they're going to, they have to be clear and explain how and why they are, just like the Alcazar case did. There, the Navy Marine Court broke out each of the remaining segmented sentences and did an analysis, and that's in paragraph 4 of their opinion, where they go offense by offense, and they talk about the facts and circumstances of the first false official, any aggravation evidence.
Right, but they're not relying on anything, any legal authority for doing that. Maybe they just felt a little more educated and compelled than the Air Force Court. Or maybe they felt they needed to do that in that case, but they're not relying on any authority. It goes back to the Chief's question about what authority is there to require the CCA to do as you're asking.
Well, I believe that's part of why we're here, Your Honor. This is a position that...
So you want us to do that? You want us to require them to do that?
Yes, Your Honor, and that's based off of the statute. So when you look at Article 56, when that changed and members don't elect to be sentenced by... when an accused doesn't elect to be sentenced by members, then it's textually says the military judge must decide on an appropriate sentence for each specification, so one by one. And then only after deciding on all of the appropriate sentences for each specification do they then decide concurrent or consecutive. And so when you then look at the CCA's application of Article 66D, it's still built in. CCAs may only approve a finding or sentence or part of a sentence or amount that's correct in law, in fact, and should be approved. So it follows that if the military judge is judging appropriate sentences for each specification, that CCAs are conducting a review for sentence appropriateness for those same segmented sentences, while also considering the totality, the character of the accused, and mitigation factors. Those things can apply to everything, but there should still be an analysis for each segmented sentence.
Well, counsel, on that point, if we rule in your favor that the CCA needs to explain exactly what context and why it considered for each segmented sentence, isn't that going to go back down that the military judge now will have to do the exact same thing? Because, I mean, the military judge said 12 months, period, and the CCA said 12 months, period, is okay. And you're saying, well, no, the CCA has to explain it more. Well, wouldn't that necessarily then mean we're going to go back to the military judge will have to explain, or the military judge will have abused his or her discretion?
Chief Judge Olson, I see my time is about to expire.
Please respond to Judge Maggs's question.
Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honor, CCAs have to take a de novo, a fresh look at when they look at sentence appropriateness. So regardless of whether the military judge provided their discussion on the record, CCAs still have to do a fresh look at whether it's appropriate. So, and even here, when an issue is raised about an abuse of discretion, this court has looked at what the military judge has articulated in deciding whether it was an abuse of discretion. So to that end, they may need to articulate what they're considering. And that comes down partially to the way the evidence is allowed in, how it's argued, and if there's any objection, if there's any curative instruction. All of those things should be looked at by the CCAs, but they still do a fresh look regardless.
Was there any, I'm sorry, may I ask?
No, please.
Was there any error at the trial level with what the military judge considered or said or any of the arguments?
Your Honor, so what was raised to the Air Force Court was that there was improper prosecutorial misconduct for improper argument relating to the uncharged lies that occurred after the charged lies. That issue was not granted by this court. And of note, the Air Force Court didn't actually address any of that in doing their sentence appropriateness review. While that was the trial counsel's argument, and they did steer clear of the 128 facts and circumstances, didn't attempt to bolster the false official for that, they attempted to bolster it for the other uncharged lies. When the Air Force Corps looked at it, they didn't consider those uncharged lies that were later. They only considered facts and circumstances of the 128s, and yet wasn't clear in are they assessing the totality or just the false official statement being 12 months being appropriate for it.
Further question from Judge Harding.
Counsel, what is the real benefit of forcing the CCAs to do it this way? Why would we not assume that when they, because the only sentence that really matters is the sentence they're going to serve, right? The combined unitary sentence. And so why would we not assume that when the CCA decides whether or not that sentence should be approved, that they are already thinking about whether or not all the individual segmented sentences were appropriate? And in some sense, it doesn't really matter. And you might say that, well, one of those charges might go up on appeal and get wiped out, but I think generally we would order a sentence rehearing or reassessment in that case anyway. So what is the benefit? I know you say it's required by Article 66, but what is the benefit of forcing the CCAs to do it this way for the system?
Well, the benefit is replicated here. So the benefit here is instead of CCAs being able to use or, the government and the appellant, they negotiated for mitigating down the 128 offenses. And that, in line with it, the government has then limited any potential aggravation evidence for those 128s and their use of bumping up the confinement. Here, if CCAs aren't conducting an independent review of each segmented sentence and just looking at the whole, they may combine those aggravating factors that were mitigated down based on the plea in finding that the total sentence is appropriate, but then losing sight of, well, is twice as much appropriate for a lie about it the next day when there was no impact on medical care to the child?
But counsel, the sentence was well within the pretrial agreement. So, yeah, you just lost him on that piece.
It is, Your Honor, but okay. So was the Alcazog specifications that were remaining. All of them were the minimum of the plea agreement, and yet the CCA stated that there's still the matter of whether the remaining segmented and unitary sentences are appropriate. Then they looked at each one, finding all three of them, well, four of them, inappropriately severe, and then lowering them well below the minimum of the plea agreement. And in a footnote 129 in their opinion, they caution military judges. They don't need to and shouldn't approve of or accept plea agreements that are against public policy and essentially inappropriate.
Further questions from the bench? Seeing none, thank you. Major Kane, Captain Bears.
Chief Judge Olson, members of the court, and may it please the court, I am Captain Vanessa Barrows, and along with my co-counsel, Colonel Matthew Talcott, we represent the United States. This court should affirm the lower court's opinion for the following reasons. First, we know AFCA addressed whether 12 months confinement for the false official statement was appropriate because that is the exact assignment of error that the parties briefed below. And AFCA's analysis was geared towards this assignment of error. Second, the aggravating circumstances articulated in the opinion related to the false official statement. None of the aggravating factors related to the assault are mentioned in the analysis, demonstrating AFCA conducted a segmented review instead of a unitary one. As to my first point, Your Honors, AFCA did a segmented review, and we know this. And it is evident in the first sentence
of
the analysis.
You say we know this. Where in the opinion does the CCA explicitly state that they are engaging in this separate segmented review, or even cite to the statute that says that that's required?
Your Honor, you're correct that it's not explicitly stated, but if you look at the opinion in context, we know that the analysis is geared towards whether or not the 12 months of confinement is appropriate. And if you look at the first sentence under the heading sentence appropriateness, AFCA acknowledges that appellant argues that his 12 months of confinement for the false official statement is not appropriate. That is the assignment of error, and that is the segmented sentence that is reviewed in the remainder of its analysis. Even if you look further into under the portion of analysis, AFCA is talking about the maximum punishments, and it does state the maximum punishment per the plea agreement, but then it specifically states the maximum punishments for the false official statement itself. It doesn't even talk about the parameters of the minimum or maximums for the assault. Again, indicative of the fact that the lower court was, in fact, looking at the challenge segmented sentence.
Counsel, does the CCA have a sua sponte duty to review all of the sentences as part of their Article 66 duties?
Yes, Your Honor, it does. And if you look at the second to last paragraph in the opinion, it does state that it was an appropriate sentence for the crime of which appellant was convicted. And as this court held in Gwynn and even in Matias, a one sentence disposition is enough when recognizing an assignment of error. But using that logic, the lower court did, in fact, look to whether or not, you know, the entire sentence was appropriate. But specifically, as Your Honor mentioned, what matters in this case is whether or not the 12 months for the false official statement is appropriate, because that is essentially the term of confinement that he's going to be serving, and the analysis was geared toward that segmented sentence that was challenged on appeal.
And as you stand here today, what is the government's position on what is the scope of the CCA's duty? Do they have to review each segmented sentence for its appropriateness and then the unitary sentence as well? Or, and we can infer from the opinion and the facts of this case that they did that, or is that the government's position that the only thing that the only duty that Article 66 imposes is a duty to review the unitary sentence in the totality of the circumstances, which sort of includes what the segmented sentences were?
Your Honor, as mentioned in our brief and as appellant stated, we do concede the legal issue that, in fact, CCAs do have to look at the segmented sentence when conducting sentence appropriateness review. But where we differ from appellant's argument is that you can, in fact, look at the totality of the circumstances. In fact, the RCM 1001F requires for the military judge or the sentencing authority to look at the nature and circumstances of the offense, as well as the rehabilitated potential of the accused. And so for appellant to argue that you need to review all the sentences in isolation is not proper. And as this court has held in Brown, isolating words from its context is illogical, and there's no way in this case to isolate the false official statement.
Are you saying in the facts of this case it would be inappropriate, or are you saying that in any case? Because I think we've seen lots of cases where the crimes that have been charged are completely unrelated. They might happen 6 months or 12 months apart. Would it be inappropriate in that case to consider them completely isolated from one another? I know there are going to be factors like rehabilitation that might apply to both, but putting that aside, would it be inappropriate in that circumstance, or are you just arguing that it would be inappropriate to require it in this circumstance?
Your Honor, it would be more inappropriate in this case to isolate the two offenses, because to even understand the charged language for the false official statement, "I wasn't even there," you have to understand what he was referring to. And he's referring to, "I wasn't even there the night of the assault." And that's why it's important to understand the context behind the false official statement. Maybe I'm getting a little ahead of myself in my argument, but this is why when AFCA looked at the aggravating circumstances, it's looking at the aggravating circumstances related to the false official statement, because starting at the night of the assault, he is trying to escape culpability and to try to diminish his actions. And it's only when Sergeant EF kept pressing about the matter that is when appellant stated that he did hit her 2-year-old, and then his lies kept, you know, compounding, and then finally the next day is when we have the charged misconduct, which is he lied to his first sergeant, which makes the false official statement.
Captain Barris, I believe people in the audience are having a little bit of a hard time hearing you. If you could either please speak up or move the microphone a little closer.
Yes, Your Honor.
Thank you.
So then going back to that point is you have like a continuous course of conduct, and the aggravating circumstances directly relate to the false official statement. And again, it's looking at the segmented sentence. The aggravating circumstances related to the assaults are nowhere to be seen in the analysis, such as he was hit multiple times around his ear or temple, the injuries, other injuries he faced, such as lacerations. Again, that's indicative of a segmented review, because had the court looked at a unitary analysis, they would consider the other aggravating factors within the case, and we don't see those aggravating factors related to the assault when it conducted whether 12 months were appropriate.
Captain Barris, Major Kane has cited and holds up the Navy case of Al-Khazag as kind of the model for what the courts of criminal appeals should be actually articulating in their opinions when they're on this issue. Does the government share that view?
The government's position is that the CCA should look at the segmented, you know, sentences.
Well, specifically, what they did in Al-Khazag, how they set it out and explicitly told the reader what they were considering.
Yes, Your Honor. There's actually examples of other Air Force cases in which the...
That was going to be my next question.
In which AFCA actually did do something very similar. If you look at the Souders case, which was cited in the briefs, each challenge segmented sentence was under its own heading. And so CCAs are presumed to know the law, and there's multiple indications, in fact, that AFCA knew the law and applied the law, not just in this case, but in other cases in which they conducted a sentence appropriateness review.
But how does that help you if in prior cases the CCA spelled out how they were doing it, and here they're silent on this point? You're talking about, I think it was in the reply brief, appellant says, hey, the CCA spent 465 words in addressing sentence appropriateness, and you spend almost 3,000 words trying to inject meaning into that. If in prior Air Force opinions from the CCA, they clearly spelled things out, and they didn't hear, doesn't that undercut this idea that maybe they were doing it correctly here?
No, Your Honor. We respectfully disagree. If you look at the notion that CCAs are presumed to know the law, there's a presumption that appellant hasn't overcome. And in this case, the lower court knew the law, applied the law, and it's indicative of its analysis.
But how do we know? Why would we go outside the four corners of this opinion and say they knew the law? If that were the case, wouldn't many of the cases that we have before this court, wondering whether a CCA in a variety of different instances understood and applied the law, we'd say, well, you know, 12 years ago, CCA got it right, so therefore they must have gotten it right here.
Your Honor, I don't think we need to look outside the four corners to know whether or not the lower court did it right. Essentially, what is missing from the opinion is an introductory sentence that's saying that we're doing a segmented review. However, if you look at the analysis and if you look at the opinion as a whole and not under a microscope, it shows that it, in fact, did a segmented review. It's referring to the false official statement more than it did to the assault. When AFCA is referring to the assault, it's doing so to provide context to the false official statement.
So, Captain Barrels, going back to an earlier question than it was posed, is it the government's position that this court should make that clear to the CCAs, that you need to clearly state that you are doing a segmented sentencing? Similar to, was it Bennett? The Air Force CCA clearly stated we have an obligation to sentence the segmented sentencing, and this is what we're doing. So is that the government's position, that at a minimum we need to say that very clearly?
Correct. So the government's position is that the CCAs need to look at the segmented sentence. And, Your Honor, you mentioned the Bennett case, and it's important to note that two out of the three judges that were on the Bennett case were also on the panel at the lower court. So, again, providing, you know, more indication to this court that the judges on the panel, in fact, knew the law and applied the law. And cases where this court has remanded, such as Thompson and recently McElhaney, in those cases, the lower court, explicitly stated erroneous law, whether in Thompson it was an improper evidentiary standard that the lower court applied. Here, we don't have any contradictions to the law. And CCAs are presumed to know the law, absent, you know, contrary indications. And here, this case does not rise to the level of other cases where this case was remanded. So appellant failed to prove that the CCA's findings were clearly erroneous and influenced by an erroneous view of the law based on, you know, what this court has held in previous decisions. Again, what is missing here is simply an introductory sentence that states that we are doing a segmented review, but the analysis itself is indicative of a segmented review. Now, going back to the aggravation, matters in aggravation that is cited in the court's opinion, the lower court makes clear that it's citing to the fact that JF was a helpless 2-year-old child who could not express himself for what he had endured. And that provides context to the false official statement, because in this case, the 2-year-old, the victim, was not able to even tell his mom, let alone report a crime. And it's important to know these facts because then this also explains AFCA's opinion and analysis that the appellant continued to escape responsibility for his actions. And it's important to talk about the matters in aggravation because this is exactly what appellant is stating in its argument. It's asserting that the 12 months of confinement is too egregious for a false official statement. And the only way the lower court came to this conclusion was it had to consider the assaults when concluding 12 months was appropriate and therefore had to do a unitary review. But that is not the case. It's important to note that the false official statement can receive up to 5 years of confinement, and appellant's plea agreement recognized the aggravating factors that related to the false official statement. In the plea agreement, he conceded that the continuous course of misconduct can be used in pre-sentencing hearings. And given the nature and circumstances of this case, the sentence here is not inappropriately severe. The aggravating factors related to the false official statement articulated in the opinion are distinct from the aggravating factors pertaining to the assaults. Appellant also asserts that 12 months of confinement is egregious for a single false official statement, but in a published decision, by AFCA, the court found that a dismissal was appropriate for two false official statements.
How is that particularly relevant to the issue presented before us?
Whether or not 12 months confinement is appropriate? I understand that the issue before this court is whether or not the lower court conducted a segmented review. But because of the argument that appellant is making, the fact that because 12 months confinement is inappropriately severe, that's appellant's argument, that AFCA then in fact did a unitary review and considered the assaults in affirming the sentence. But it's important to note the aggravating circumstances and how they relate to the false official statement because it's indicative of a segmented review. So we understand that whether or not the sentence was appropriate may not be necessarily a granted issue, but it does provide context that the lower court, in fact, conducted a segmented review. But pending any questions, this concludes my argument.
Any further questions from the bench? Seeing none, please conclude.
This court should affirm the lower court's opinion. AFCA conducted a segmented review, followed the law, and did not abuse its discretion. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, Captain Barris. Major Kane.
Your Honor, Airman Flores is not asking this court to decide whether or not 12 months of confinement is appropriate. Simply to remand the case because the Air Force Court did not conduct sentence appropriateness review correctly. While government argues that the underlying facts and circumstances surrounding the 128s provides context, at no point does the Air Force Court state that this is providing context or that that is how they're using it or considering it. They also don't mention...
Major Kane, before your time runs out, can you put in a box for me? You know, I was a former infantry officer, so... You know, I was a grunt, so I need things kind of plainly put for me. Can you put in a box, if you were looking at the CCA and you were looking at this false official statement, what is it you think they should have considered and should not have considered?
Well, Your
Honor. On the issue of whether they conducted a segmented sentencing review.
Well, may I do a friendly amendment to that question, Judge Sparks?
Sure.
I would further refine it as, what do you identify as the aggravating evidence that the court should or should not have reviewed?
Your Honor, the aggravating evidence would be...
With regards to the false official statement.
Directly relating to or resulting from the false official. The false official happened the next day. The Article 128s were not resulting from it. Arguably, it is related to it in that it can provide context. But again, the Air Force Court didn't state that that's how they were using it. And even if there was an appropriate way to consider the evidence as aggravation, there's also inappropriate ways that it could be considered as aggravation. And the Air Force Court didn't specify how and in what way it was using it. So because it's unclear, and this court has held in Thompson that when there's certain language in a CCA opinion that supports appellant's argument, this court has remanded in the past.
But you say that the CCA did not indicate how they were using it. I look at the I forget what paragraph it was in, but the statement that the court wrote in, it's like the last sentence in that paragraph that said that when appellant told Senior Master Sergeant OM that he wasn't even there, he continued to attempt to escape responsibility for his actions. And so although that sentence came at the end of that paragraph, that really almost should have been the lead sentence, because one could read that paragraph as these were all part of that continuous course of conduct to, as the CCA said, escape responsibility for his actions.
It could be read that way, Your Honor, but it's not clear that that's how they intended it. And because it's not clear, this case should be remanded. While the government states that the first line of this part of the analysis does talk about the false official, the legal analysis section doesn't talk about segmented sentences or their duty, and nor does the word segment or segmented appear anywhere in their opinion. So as Your Honors have stated, the CCAs also have a duty to assess whether the overall sentence and all unitary sentences and each segmented sentence is appropriate. If they were only talking about and only considering this evidence for the false official and whether the 12 months of confinement was appropriate, they should have been clear and specified about that.
Judge Sparks, did you have your question answered?
Yes, I did. Thank you, Chief.
Are there further questions from the bench?
Can I get one more, Chief?
Absolutely.
Counsel, let's say we accept that we just don't know from the CCA's opinion whether they really did segmented sentencing or they didn't. The government argues that uncertainty has never been enough, that there has to be some sort of contradictory evidence in the opinion that leads the court to believe that we're not sure what they did, but it looks like they probably did it wrong, and then we remand for them to do it over. What would you point to? Do you think that that's not the standard, that uncertainty should be sufficient, or is there something in the opinion that you would point to that says this is how we know, or this is why we can infer that the CCA did it wrong?
Yes, Your Honor. Chief Judge Olson, may I please?
Please respond.
Thank you, Your Honor. That is seen because every time they use the word sentence, it's sentence. It's not segmented sentence. It's not sentences. It's not part of sentence or amount of sentence. It's holistically sentence, whether that's the end of paragraph one or talking about the evidence that applies to the whole sentence at the end of paragraph two or the first sentence of paragraph three, combining facts and circumstances of the 128s and the false official, or at the end of paragraph three, when again they talk about totality of the circumstances and combine the false official and the crimes for which he was convicted. And while paragraph four might be them summarizing their overall review of Sun's appropriateness, again, the use of sentence is only used broadly as one word, as the overall sentence. And as Thompson said, that language read together does support Airman Flores' argument that the CCA here didn't conduct sentence appropriateness review solely for whether 12 months was appropriate for the lie that he was charged with.
Further questions? Further questions? Thank you, counsel. Case is now submitted. Court thanks counsel for both sides, and the court will stand adjourned until further order of the court.
Court stands adjourned until further order of the court.